You know, I love you guys. You have very good questions, all of you. I like that. The question about the Lord Jesus on the cross, I hope it was answered clearly. But this is also a very good question. The death of Christ affected three spheres. It affected the physical sphere, it affected the religious sphere, and it affected the moral sphere. And you saw it in the three verses that we have read there. The physical sphere, the rocks were rented. There is something, because again, the death of Christ had impact on everything that sin have touched. So it had impact on that. The veil, as Brother Chuck have said, was torn, was rented. And all of a sudden, I want you to imagine that now. I want you to imagine that. You know what happened that day? It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the veil was rent, when the Lord Jesus said, it is finished, right? At that time, they were offering a sacrifice in the temple. There was a priest inside there offering incense. And here's that big veil in there, and he's standing there. And they were told that behind that veil, there is the presence of a holy God that nobody could look upon. They reminded them of what happened to the two sons of Aaron when they went in there and God struck them dead. So there is this fear and tremble that about that veil when you look at it. And imagine that priest standing there offering the incense, and all of a sudden, whoo, the veil is rent. And the priest looked in there, probably he would almost have a heart attack. And there was nothing behind there. What happened? Now we could have an access to God, as we have heard, and God could have access to us. It affected the religion sphere. In the Old Testament, you cannot go in. The religion said, you cannot go in beyond that. You're not allowed, because there's a holy God in there, and the blood must be once a year to make an atonement for sin, because you cannot have access to God if you are a sinner. You need your sins to be taken care of. But it affected the moral sphere. Here is that man that have witnessed many crucifixion, but have not seen a man like this man. Every person that would hang on a cross probably would curse, yell, and scream. This man, first word that came out of his mouth, Father, forgive them. He never seen anything like that. And it had a great impact on him. Did that man get saved? I hope so.
That's right.
I hope I'll see him in heaven. I really hope I'll see him in heaven, because you know what? This is he have seen something. Well, you know what? We sit and talk about it, but he was right there witnessing those 6 hours. I hope he's there. But this is the greatness of the work of the cross. You see, we think of it as he saved me from my sins. The work of the cross, the greatness of the work of Christ, have impact on those three spheres. The physical sphere, the moral sphere, and the religious sphere.
Yeah. I have to suggest that my understanding from the scripture, I feel that he is saved. And the reason being is the revelation of the Son of God was never something that they have heard of as far as the centurion. If you look at his suffering, all the mocking that he was mocked was as far as his kingship is concerned. If thou art the king of the Jews, I like to think about it this way. The revelation of him being the Son of God, it is something that the Lord Jesus said to Peter, has been revealed unto thee by my Father. And one would think, and I like to think that way, I would join with Brother Emil, I hope and I believe that he is saved, that he received a special revelation. That as they witnessed these things, he said, truly, truly, this was the Son of God. In other Gospels, it is other sayings that he was a righteous man. But in this Gospel, it is truly he is the Son of God. And such a confession can only be done by those that had been revealed unto them.
This is the value, again, young people, of a Bible study. Never give a Bible study up. Never give up the exchange of thoughts. The most times that I've ever heard this spoken on, it has always been about the centurion. But scripture is quite clear that it was not just the centurion. Let's read that verse again. Now, when the centurion Oh, and they that were with him. I love that. They that were with him. There were others there. He saw it, but he was surrounded by others. And then I'm thinking, since we've begun to talk about this, that the Spirit of God has recorded not only that these feared, they greatly feared. They greatly feared, and this was again the testimony. Not truly this was a remarkable man. Not truly a lot of other things that could be said. But they ascribe deity to the man that had died. This was none other than the Son of God. So I don't know whether I'm somewhere in between. I don't know, but I hope so.
I fully agree with you. It is in the Gospel of Matthew, it's they. In the Gospel of Mark, he.
He.
And in the Gospel of Luke, it's good to compare scripture with scripture. It is said of the centurion that he glorified God, saying, truly, this was a righteous man. And one feels that for his soul to come to the moment of glorifying God for what they have witnessed, they must have been touched by the grace of God.
And just to follow that up, I think that the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is truly what changed them. We see in verse 36 of that same chapter, and sitting down, they watched him there. And now in the verse 54, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquakes and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, this truly was the Son of God. So they watched him when they crucified him, but when they saw what happened, when they truly understood who the Lord Jesus Christ was through his cross, they believed on him.
Now, can we go to resurrection?
Well, I want to just, if you want me, I'm going to just comment on Joseph, the rich man of Arimathea. What a wonderful thing that his colors come out. And he, who once was afraid of the Jews, he begins now to be very bold in his faith. We also know from other scriptures that Nicodemus joined him here, but he begged the body of Jesus, 58. When he had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. He laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. And I'll take us in now the next day, following the day of preparation, we have again the command, the thought, listen, we need to do something to make sure that these people do not make the last error worse than the first. And so we need to seal his tomb. This is, again, the grand mark of Christianity that we revel in, that the tomb is empty. The words would echo in the ears. So command, therefore, in 64, that he may be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, he is risen from the dead. So in the last error shall be worse than the first. And Pilate says, ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it sure as you can. So they went and they sealed the stone, setting a watch.
It's a beautiful thing with this burial with Joseph, that the Lord Jesus didn't even have a tomb for himself. Somebody gave him their own tomb. And it says in scriptures that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God has nowhere to lay his head. And that is a remarkable thing, that even the Lord in all of his glory, even when he died, he didn't even have his own grave. Somebody else gave him their own. So that's something that we could just think about.